The Tom Woods Show, episode 1016.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're living in terror of your SJW boss and colleagues, it's probably time to start a side hustle online. And as somebody who's self-published books, created a successful podcast, been a successful affiliate marketer, and many other things, I can tell you step by step what to do. And as a matter of fact, I've done that in my free ebook, Five Paths to an Online Income. Check it out at pathstoincome.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. By the way, when episode 1000 is ready to go, I will make sure and let you know about it so you won't miss it, because you'll have to scroll back in your podcast feed to see it, and you are not going to want to miss it. Man, was that a great, great event. Well, today I just want to talk for a little while about a couple of items that showed up in my Facebook feed, and they, I think, are just opportunities to think a little bit more clearly and deeply about some important and fundamental questions about libertarianism. So I'm just going to get right to them. I'm not going to mention names because the names are not important. In this one slim regard, I will say that I'm going to be like Ron Paul and not focus on personalities, focus exclusively on ideas. So let me read the first of these posts to you. This is about the Libertarian Party. And by the way, I'm not fundamentally talking about the Libertarian Party here, even though that's the backdrop of what the person is saying. I'm really just talking about libertarianism in general. Anyway, the person says the LP, meaning the Libertarian Party, can't be a cult and a political party. The NAP, meaning the non-aggression principle, will be discarded or the party will fail. It's that simple. All right, let's unpack that a bit. The LP can't be a cult and a political party. So if you believe in the non-aggression principle, you are cultish. Now, presumably, believing in principles alone does not make a person cultish. And somebody went and asked this person, well, are you saying the Libertarian Party shouldn't have principles? And he said, no, just not that one. Okay, but I don't think because a party is supposed to hold to a principle, and it's a principle that you don't agree with, that makes the party cultish. That seems like a little bit of a uncharitable overstatement, let's say. But before we get into what this person's proposed replacement for the non-aggression principle is, let's say a little something about it. The non-aggression principle is a topic I've covered on the show before. Obviously, it's a libertarian podcast. How could I not? So I'll link to some previous episodes that go into it and really get to the meat of it at tomwoods.com/1016. But for now, you can just define it the way anybody would, which is, you know, in other words, let's not define it the way a philosopher might, with all kinds of nuances and technical distinctions, but just colloquially, the non-aggression principle simply means that you should not initiate aggression against peaceful people. And we're, as libertarians, we're very fond of saying everybody implicitly believes in the non-aggression principle because virtually all of us order our lives in that way. We don't throw people in cages when we disagree with them. We don't go to their houses and take their things because we think we could spend their money more wisely or more charitably than they do. We don't do anything like that. We interact with each other on a voluntary basis. When we have disagreements, we argue them out. We try to, well, we aim to use reason. We don't always wind up doing that in practice, but we don't necessarily resort to violence, in other words, when we have a dispute. We at least do talk to each other, even if we're not always being super rational when we do so. We talk to each other, which means we prefer peaceful over violent resolutions of conflicts. So there is something to that, that people implicitly do believe the non-aggression principle. It's just a matter of when we apply it consistently, mercilessly, and without exception. So we apply it also to the state, which would shock and amaze most people, that we would say that what the state is doing in virtually all its activities amounts to committing aggression against peaceful people. And that goes all the way down to the level of taxation. Even something as fundamental to the state as taxation, well, how could that not be a violation of the non-aggression principle? You are expropriating somebody. That is aggression. So a lot of people would hear that and say, now, whoa, 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 wait just a minute. I don't agree with that. But they do agree with it when it's private people. They just have an exception for the state. Now, I know plenty of people who are minarchists. That is to say, they believe in a minimal state that provides certain fundamental services like the administration of justice and military defense and police services. I know many people who hold that view who are quite intelligent. So I don't mean to say that everybody who believes in the state is a brainwashed idiot. I am not saying that. And if you think that, I think you're wrong. I mean, let's be reasonable here. I don't think Thomas Sowell was a brainwashed idiot, right? I mean, I think he was a smart, he's not dead, so I think he's a smart guy. So I don't want to go to that extreme. But at the same time, I do think a lot of people look at the state a particular way because of their intellectual background, because of what they learned in school. They do believe that the state is exempt from general moral rules. Not that it's ever been put to them that way, but they've gone through their lives believing in the fundamental goodness of the state, the wickedness of the private sector, the progress that's been made for humanity, which they believe to have occurred because of the state. I would be shocked if they thought anything else. I'm shocked there are as many libertarians as there are, given that the exact opposite is taught to everybody from birth. I'm shocked we have as many people as we do, not that we have so few. Anyway, so that's just a little something about the non-aggression principle. I've heard criticisms of it, and as I say, I'm going to link you to episodes where we've talked about some of those. One of them would be, well, it's not really a full principle that can stand on its own. It's derivative. It relies on further definitions. For example, to know what constitutes aggression, we also have to know what constitutes property. Because how can we decide if you've committed aggression against me or against my property, if we haven't defined what property is, how people come to own property, what makes a property title legitimate? So in other words, the non-aggression principle depends on these other concepts as well, to which my answer is, okay, good. How does that discredit the principle that a full definition, as opposed to the layman's definition I just gave you, requires the introduction of additional concepts? So what? What is the that's just grasping at straws, if you ask me. So then somebody also in this thread mentioned self-ownership, and the guy who posted the original post said, well, that's dumb too. So by the way, in case you're thinking that he's saying that the non-aggression principle leads to impractical policy outcomes and that's going to doom the Libertarian Party, that is not primarily his criticism. It's that the non-aggression principle is stupid and, you know, all the smarty pants people know it's stupid, and so is the idea of self-ownership. That's stupid. But what exactly is stupid about self-ownership? What exactly is being said when we say that somebody owns himself? What we're saying about it is what we mean when we talk about other things being owned by people. When we say somebody owns something, like the very microphone I'm using to record this episode, what we mean is that person and that person alone has the moral, or let's say the presumptive moral claim over how that thing is used. You have a control over that thing. And so, for example, I mean, I get to decide how this microphone is used. Now, I can forfeit that if I were to start smashing people over the head with the microphone. It would probably be taken away from me. But the idea is that the presumption is that I exercise control over how the thing is used. So we agree that's not stupid. So why does it become stupid when instead of a microphone, it's my physical body? I would think, if anything, it becomes far less stupid and far more urgent, because we're simply saying that the presumption is that I have a greater moral claim than anybody else to exercise control over my physical body. Maybe I'm just a dummy, but I don't see what's stupid about that. I find it weird that somebody would think that was stupid or that wasn't urgently necessary to teach to people. So what is his suggested replacement? Well, I'm trying to find the thread. I'm having trouble finding it. But it was, and I promise you, I am not trying to put words in his mouth or in any way mislead you. His proposed principle is that we aim for the improvement of the welfare of people. That's what he wants. Well, that could describe any political philosophy. Any political party. They all claim they want to improve people's welfare. How does that distinguish us as libertarians? And how does that limit what is morally permissible? I mean, why couldn't I start harvesting organs of non-consenting patients on the grounds that, in general, I'm going to improve people's welfare? I mean, I'm not saying this person favors that, but I'm saying that if you advance a proposition like that that has no constraints, who knows where it could be taken? Whereas the beauty of the non-aggression principle is how precise and unrelenting it is. It makes clear pretty much what's allowed and what isn't. Are you committing aggression? Yes, then you can't do it. Whereas we're going to improve people's welfare. Well, as a matter of fact, it is a nice side effect of the observance of the non-aggression principle that we do improve people's welfare. But we don't begin with that as our premise, because that doesn't guide us in any way as to what's allowable and what isn't, what's moral, what's immoral. It doesn't guide us in any way. It provides us certainly no barriers against state outrages. So this, and by the way, this is also why it's unwise to substitute harm for aggression. Sometimes you'll see occasional libertarian talk about non-harm rather than non-aggression. Again, any attempt to make the libertarian message fuzzy is dangerous, because harm is much more vague than aggression. Aggression, you know what aggression is, the initiation of physical force against somebody. Now, it's true there are cases that are more difficult to figure out, like obviously somebody who's coming at you with a gun hasn't yet committed aggression against you, and yet you would still be allowed to defend yourself. So you can talk about these special cases. But by and large, it's easy enough to know what aggression is. But harm? Well, notice that there's nothing in harm that implies physical harm. I mean, it could mean that, but it doesn't imply that it must be physical harm. So I could hurt somebody's feelings. Doesn't that cause harm? And then what happens? Then we have to ban some language that I use. Or what if I could think of all kinds of situations where I would harm somebody where the harm should not be actionable. What if it's down to you and me, we're in a job interview, and I have the interview before you, and I get the job and you don't? I guess, harmed you in a way. I mean, you wanted that job, so your life is worse than it would have been if you'd gotten it. But should you be able to fight me over that? So that's the problem with non-harm, is that there are all kinds of things. If I vigorously compete against another firm in my industry, I'm harming that firm through that competition. So you could easily imagine antitrust legislation being used, saying that, well, we're going to try to prevent harm, which would mean undue competition, which is always what antitrust is all about. So you see how that does not guide us, and it gets us on these very, very unfruitful paths. So all this, well, we're going to work for people's welfare, we're not going to have harm. It's, I don't want to assume motives here, because these could be perfectly well-meaning people who just haven't thought through all the implications of what they're saying. But I will say that some people advancing much more imprecise principles like these, as opposed to the very, very precise non-aggression principle, could well be doing it on purpose, precisely because they want to give the state leeway, precisely because they want to sort of be libertarians, but they also want to have that mainstream respectability they crave, and they certainly can't get that with the non-aggression principle. So they advance these principles that open the door to all kinds of state outrages. Now, meanwhile, there's somebody else on Facebook. Again, it doesn't matter, right? I know that the particular people I'm talking about are not exactly F.A. Hayek, but again, they illustrate certain points. So there's somebody else on Facebook who's a bit notorious, who made a post saying, "I'm happy to say I'm a libertarian and think Social Security should exist." And he's got this laundry list of things that he's glad are around. So notice, this illustrates my point that once there's no real guiding principle, you know, with something like non-aggression that's super specific, then what does libertarianism become except an arbitrary set of prejudices? Well, we should have a limited government, but I personally think government should be kind of in charge of a giant retirement program. or I personally think that government should do, but we can't have it do that thing that you want it to do. How are you going to make that argument? Sure, the government should do these things because I've arbitrarily chosen them because they seem good and reasonable to me. But what you're saying government should do does not seem good. Good luck having that argument with somebody. So that's where you wind up when you don't have something like the non-aggression principle. We should be glad we have the non-aggression principle because it really guides us. It helps people of goodwill, of whom there are some, to get a handle on where we stand and why we stand there. I would say left liberalism and conservatism could stand to have something like the non-aggression principle so I can figure out what in heaven's name they're going to believe from one day to the next. And I know that, you know, Russell Kirk used to boast that conservatism was not an ideology. It was this, it was that. But yeah, I got that for a while and I thought, yeah, ideology, that's just a left-wing invention. We don't need any of that. But look at what it's done to the so-called conservative movement. Who the heck knows who a real conservative is anymore? Who even knows? How can you know? Things that would have appalled conservatives 50 years ago, they defend like there's no tomorrow today. And who knows what so-called conservatives will be defending in 50 years' time? I can hardly imagine it. So we should be thankful, not embarrassed, that we have the non-aggression principle. All right, tomorrow I'm heading out to New York City because it is the Mises Institute's 35th anniversary event. So I am looking forward to a great weekend. And then the week after that, I have back here. And then it's the Contra Cruise. So fun, fun, fun. We have probably had something like a 75% increase in attendance on the Contra Cruise this year. Something somewhere in that ballpark, maybe 65 to 75% increase. So that's awesome. Boy, is that going to be fun. Let me share with you a website created by a Tom Woods Show listener, ironmetal.com, ironmetle.com. This is a site dedicated to getting your mindset right, to health, to relationships, and to building wealth. So all these sorts of things that go into your overall wellness are covered for free over at ironmetal.com. So how about that? With a Tom Woods Show listener guiding you through all these things, how can you go wrong? I'm going to link to it at tomwoods.com/1016, and you can just check it out directly at ironmetal.com. So give that site a shot and get yourself your own publicity like this so that when you create your website, there aren't tumbleweeds going by, but people actually show up. You get free publicity plus numerous other bonuses from me when you use my link for your web hosting, where, by the way, I also get you the best deal they've got. So it's a win all around. Get the details on how to get these neat bonuses at tomwoods.com/publicity. So my hope is that by next week, we'll get episode 1000 up. I'll tell you about it. You go back and listen. It's you're just going to love it. It's got a roast of me at the end, which is hysterical. Comedian Dave Smith was there. I did not tell people he was coming. He was a surprise guest, and man, was he hilarious as a roaster. You're just going to love it. So make sure and check your feed for that, but also I will be reminding you as soon as that happens, probably the next 5 or 6 episodes, I'm just going to pound away at this. Don't miss the 1000th episode, because that would just be heartbreaking. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.